Welcome to the Open House podcast site, available at theopenhouse.net.au blog site.
Well, I'm sure you're going to know her voice from songs like this. And I just showed up for my own life.
And I'm standing here taking it in, and it sure looks bright. Her name is, of course, Sarah Groves, once a high school teacher who did a bit of singing on the side. That was, of course, until her students started asking her for a CD of her music to listen to. She made a recording. It was called Past the Wishing. And 10 years later, that has turned into 8 albums, and she's now basically become a much-loved and critically acclaimed singer-songwriter with teaching well behind her, I guess. And she's with us now. Sarah, welcome to Open House.
Thank you very much. It's great to be here.
You know, when I first heard your music, I remember it was the late 90s, early 2000s, and I actually said to a friend of mine, hey, you got to hear this new artist. Her name's Sarah Groves. And she's got some real depth to her lyrics. It's interesting now that I find out you were an English teacher. It kind of makes sense. Did you always have a passion for words and for meaning and things like that?
I have. I've always wanted to be a communicator, I think, more than anything else. The music, to me, has been a vehicle for that. I love storytelling, and I love to communicate. I think that teaching is still a huge element of what I'm doing. I'm definitely an eager learner, so I am trying to translate those things into, I guess, packets that can somehow teach the same way that those lights have come on in my life.
Mm. While you say that you're still teaching, you don't just do it in a didactic way. You're still quite fond of metaphor and simile and images and working those things through your lyrics.
I try to not ever be a finger wagger. In fact, I have a pretty high sensitivity to finger wagging, I do use myself as an example almost always over, pointing out someone else's, need to learn something. But, yeah, I attempt to be artistic and employ everything at my disposal to communicate that story.
Teachers and artists can often be, they have a different skill set. So you've actually been able to meld them and mesh them together.
I'm attempting to, yes. I feel like I could grow in that even more because I look at other artists that I really respect and admire. Their poetic, abilities to me are, they challenge me, I guess. And I do feel like I am plain spoken in my music. A lot of times I'll go to write something and I'll try to, craft something really, deep or what I feel will be. I always will lean towards compelling instead of deep, I guess. I always want to say it in plain language so that people will take a hold of it. So I've struggled with that over the years. I want to be poetic, but I also really, really want to be understood. And in that way, being a communicator, I guess, getting the story across becomes my, what makes me wake up in the morning.
What makes you wake up in the morning? Well, the earlier albums focused on things like life and love and relationships and faith and God's grace and things like that. But recently, you've kind of had a bit of a turning point in your lyrics, a bit of a change of focus. And you're now singing a lot more about those at the margins, those at the fringes, the poor, the oppressed, finding hope for those who endure trials and suffering. Tell me about that shift and where it came from.
Well, about 4 or 5 years ago, I was introduced to the work of International Justice Mission. They're a group of lawyers and law enforcement officials who work around the world rescuing people from modern-day slavery. They rescue young girls who are trafficked. They restore land to widows in Africa. They do all kind anywhere that the law would not come to bear on behalf of someone, they bring the law to bear on that person's behalf. So I was reading Gary Haugen, who's the president of that organization. I was reading his book, and he says in a chapter entitled, Where is God?, which had been a question on my heart at that time in my life, where is God in this, life of chaos and seemingly so much pain and the suffering of the innocent? And he said, in times of despair and the crushing of the innocent, I used to ask, where is God? And he said, but now my plea is changing. I no longer ask, where is God? But I've begun to ask, where are God's people?
Mm.
And I really had in a moment I saw that I was not the Good Samaritan. I remember running to my husband and saying, we've not been the Good Samaritan. We've come up with every reason to walk on the other side of the road. And I said, the next time someone's hurt or on the side of the road, can we just practice? Let's just run without any excuses and just see what that's like, because we've not been living that way. And Troy said, okay, and that was on Friday night that I made that statement, and on Sunday night, Katrina hit the coast, the Gulf Coast here in the States.
Mm.
And so we found ourselves just confronted with our own confession, you know, that we had not been doing this well and we wanted to do better. And that's all we've been doing the last 4 or 5 years is just practicing, you know, saying, okay, we're willing. And as you do that, of course, God takes you up on that, and we've had all kinds of adventures since then, and just entering into the stories of other people's lives and their suffering. And I'm convinced now that there are whole aspects of God's character, of faith, that we won't understand unless we do that. You know, I think for myself, I had become a spiritual consumer. Mm. Just like I was a consumer of other things, I had become a spiritual consumer.
Yeah, yeah.
So this was a good shakedown for me.
Yes, absolutely. This is Open House right across Australia. Sarah Groves is with us, singer-songwriter, and she's got this developing passion for the poor, the oppressed, and those who go without. Tell me about that further. What kind of adventures then? You talked about getting involved in all sorts of adventures then with folks at the margins. What did you start doing?
Well, our first thing was to respond to in the crisis in Louisiana. You know, this is what I love to see, is someone asking, all right, what do I have? What are the small things that I have? We had a tour bus, and so we filled our tour bus with baby diapers and baby supplies. And I remember pulling down into Slidell, Louisiana, and absolutely devastated for miles and miles and miles, just matchsticks as far as the eye could see. And we pulled into a church that had been just roughed in. It hadn't been finished inside, and so it was just like a warehouse, and it was full of supplies, and it had become the main source of supplies for people in the area.
Mm.
And when we pulled in, the woman said, oh, thank goodness you've come. We just ran out of diapers. And here, I just couldn't get over it. I said, we are from Minneapolis. You know, we just drove over 1,000 miles to bring these diapers, and you're telling me we got here just in the nick of time. And
wow.
So the next Sunday when I was back at home singing Who Has Seen the Storehouses of God, you know, in the song Indescribable, I just thought, man, I've seen one. And it wasn't 3 months after that I met Elizabeth, a young woman that was trafficked at 15. She was giving her testimony in Washington, D.C. And a month after that, I found myself in Rwanda. So I feel like God was taking me on a journey, introducing me to all these amazing men and women of faith. And it was just life-changing.
Yeah. Well, you mentioned Elizabeth there, and you've actually written a song about Elizabeth's story. It's called Say a Prayer.
Staring from the window, leaning in the door, flickering like a candle, lying on the floor. Say a prayer, say a prayer.
Say a Prayer from our guest Sarah Groves on Open House. So, Sarah, tell me a little bit more about Elizabeth's story there.
I met Elizabeth in Washington, D.C. 4 years ago, and she was 15 when she was the oldest of seven children living in Southeast Asia, and wanted to go to a Christian college. And like any 15-year-old you or I would know, during her summer break during school, she wanted to get a job. And a neighbor said, I know of a job in a community not far from here. And so she traveled with this woman that she trusted, and this woman betrayed her and sold her to a trafficker who in turn sold her to a brothel.
Mm-hmm.
And she, as a young Christian woman, she was from a Christian family, and she said, I did the only thing I knew how to do. I fell on my knees and called out that God would help me. And she said that just like Psalm 10, that her enemies encircled her, and they mocked her as she would pray.
Mm-hmm.
And they'd say, God doesn't hear you. He doesn't hear a girl like you in a place like this. And she just said simply from the stage, she said, still, I believed. And it was a short time after that, an IJM, an International Justice Mission operative, came and found her there. And he said when he walked into her room, he saw something he'd never seen before, and this just shot through me. He said he looked up on the wall there, written above her mattress, said, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?" I had to ask myself some pretty serious questions at that moment about my faith. And her courage just asked me a question and deeply challenged me. And so really 7 or 8 songs on this new album are inspired by her life.
Yes, yes. What an amazing act of faith. And God freed her. I mean, that's the nice thing at this stage. We can actually see that the prayer was answered. So how has she, just to finish her story, how has she gotten on in days gone by now?
Well, she graduated from college and was working as a translator. And she has told her story many times, basically so that other girls won't have to face what she has faced. So her courage is challenges me deeply.
See, the interesting thing is, Sarah, is that here you are going through your own maturing of faith. I guess that's probably the best way to put it. And you're actually, you know, finding this challenge to be not just somebody who sings nice songs about love and God and faith and things, but actually somebody who is growing themselves. And as a result, that is filtering into your art. And as a result, that art is actually influencing and inspiring other people to do likewise. There is something to that whole process that we need to explore, is the fact that the very growth, the very heart, the very soul of the artist needs to be continually growing and changing itself, particularly from a Christian perspective, when it comes to a relationship with God that becomes expansive.
I completely agree. I love my music from my earlier days, and I'm glad for those songs, but I do feel grateful that I continue to be taught, that I continue to learn. And I think that when I was in Rwanda, that was my overwhelming feeling of gratitude. I remember Kay Warren, Rick Warren's wife, we were there with Saddleback Church, and she just looked at us and said, "I hope your life is wrecked. I hope you are wrecked by what you see." And I just remember feeling a deep sense of gratitude that God would wreck us, that he would intercept us on our, you know, sort of selfish path that I was on, you know, that I can find myself on again, and that he would teach me, you know, it was a point of a lot of tears and a lot of gratitude over these last 5 years.
And we're seeing a little bit more of a trend in that kind of direction, aren't we now, Sarah? I mean, we've had the Compassion Art Project that Martin Smith from Delirious and Darlene Check and other artists have kind of jumped on board to do. It's almost as if God has been whispering this word justice to the whole of the Christian church worldwide. Well, when I say worldwide, it's the Western church actually that needed to recover it. And now it's starting to filter through into a whole bunch of artists like yourself who are taking this seriously and starting to work it through into your lyrics.
Yeah, I've learned from other artists like Charlie Peacock and Jars of Clay. They really led the way for me. I feel like God put them in my life at certain points when I was going to make, you know, my hand would be in this cookie jar over here, and then Charlie Peacock would say, "Are you sure you want to do that?" You know, and let's think about this. And again, I'm deeply grateful for these friends who have modeled for me. As Bonna says, our currency as artists can be spent on something greater than ourselves. And that has been very life-giving. And like you said, long before this started to stir in my heart, we were going church to church. You know, that's what we get to do. We get to be a little fly on the wall at all these different congregations. And I began seeing a stirring. It's always interesting, things like that. I always feel like this must be something that God is doing, because in every corner that we find ourselves, we're hearing these same conversations. And I think the temptation is to make it your own idea, and I think that's where, as an artist, as kind of getting a bird's eye view, I realize this is no one person's idea. Like you said, God has been whispering to us, and I love to be a part of those movements, because like Rick Warren says, long after McDonald's and Walmart and even the United States itself are gone, God said his church would still be here. And so any effort to work towards or through or with the church worldwide is beneficial.
Yes. And this is even changing the way that you're raising your children, I believe, now too, isn't it, this kind of tone that you've had?
I hope so. I was so scared when my first son was born. I just couldn't, you know, it made me question God. His presence made me want to just build the walls as thick and high as I could make them. And I had to work through that. That was part of this journey, was asking God, where are you? Because I had a dear friend who lost a child, and I had to ask some hard questions coming out of that season. And what's interesting is the thing that made me question God was the suffering of the innocent. And it's been in that very same place where I've seen God the most and have felt his presence the most.
Sarah Groves is our guest on Open House, theopenhouse.net.au for the podcast. Sarah, I want to just bring this back now, just to wrap up, and I want to talk about the artist and the growth of the artist's soul when it comes to having a broader worldview, when it comes to having a broader heart for who God is and what he's actually all about. And I want to talk about some of the, I want to understand what, some of the other influences that have kind of gone into shaping you and changing you the way that you're going now, the way that you're developing now. You've already talked about the influence of, say, the Charlie Peacocks of the world, Jars of Clay. You talk about even some influence there from some of the words of Bono. Then, of course, the major influences of actually going to these troubled places, both in the United States and elsewhere, where the poor, the oppressed are actually living and seeing what's actually happening. What else has been influencing you recently? What kind of books are you reading? What are the things you're listening to that are shaping you as an artist, and that's then influencing the art that you create?
Well, there's a pile of books. I hardly know where to begin there. I know that Mountains Beyond Mountains, the book about Dr. Paul Farmer and his work with Partners in Health, really challenged me deeply. I wrote the song Abstraction and a couple songs on the album about that idea, The Long Defeat. But these aren't quickly, you know, quote, successful stories often. We are often in for the long haul if we're going to enter into God's story. Mm. But I, you know, not to be cliche, but I feel like I'm rereading my Bible for the first time.
Yes.
You know, I come across a verse in Ephesians 2:9-10 where it says, "We were saved by grace. None of us can boast. This is a gift from God. But we are God's workmanship, and we've been created for good works that were prepared in advance for us to do." And I get excited about that. Now I feel like I might understand a little bit more what that means. That's what we've been talking about in concert. We've been really imploring our audiences that you are the art of God. We mm-hmm. get to be the art of God in the world mm-hmm. and reflectors of his, you know, his story. And so the Bible is, I have new eyes. I can't believe how much I missed, you
yes,
know.
Yes.
You read Jeremiah, and he's just screaming out justice, you know, and it's exciting to go back and read that knowing kind of what I know now.
Yeah. Well, Sarah, one more clip. This is a song called When the Saints.
Lord, I have a heavy burden of all I see and know. It's more than I can handle. But your word is burning like a fire shut up in my bones, and I can't let it.
Wrap it up for us then, Sarah. What motivated the writing of that song, and what are you hoping that other people are going to get out of it as they listen to it?
Well, right now here in the States, you know, there's a lot going on. There's a lot of bad news nightly, and I know that that's all relative. But people are feeling, you know, embattled and scared, and people are losing their homes, and it is hitting people we know and love in a very real way. And I think that more than ever, it's time to remember our reality is that Paul wrote a verse describing a great cloud of witnesses of all the faithful that had gone before us, and he named some pretty heavy hitters, and I can add to that list of Dietrich Bonhoeffer, Mother Teresa, Jim Elliot, many, many more, Harriet Tubman, one of my all-time favorite people from history. So I wanted to write a song that captured this reality. What Paul said our reality is that there's a cloud of witnesses at a finish line cheering us on. And I wanted to try to capture that in a song, that these great men and women of God are cheering us on right now. And least of all, Christ, you know, is waiting as well and saying, you know, we've lived our time and now this is your time. And what will you do with that? What will you do with that in your families and in your sphere of influence? And so that's all my heart can say these days is, Lord, when those saints go marching in, I want to be in that number.
Sarah, it's been great to talk to you. Thanks for your time at Open House.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, Sarah Groves, singer-songwriter. She's got 8 albums to her name. The latest one is a Christmas album. The album I think we've probably been talking about most tonight, though, is Tell Me What You Know. SarahGroves.com is the website.
This Open House podcast. To hear more from Open House, visit theopenhouse.net.au.